We don't know Tom Brady, but our next guest does because he blocked for Tom Brady. 2005 season, it was magical. Ross Tucker was there. He's now the host of the Ross Tucker podcast, and he's a good friend of the show. Ross, we haven't seen you since the Army-Navy radio row. How you been, bud?
I am doing awesome. Always great to see you guys. Always great to be on with you. And yes, I think I played 17 glorious snaps for the 2005 New England Patriots.
Yeah.
I think if memory serves, actually the team I played the least for, but then I re-signed there in 2006. So I was there the whole offseason and training camp until Belichick traded me to Cleveland. So I got plenty of Brady stories, takes. What do you want? I got
Wait, Rush, what position were you playing? You were playing guard at the time with Brady? Did you ever do a snap?
Center and guard. So like, the story I always tell, Andrew, is that in 18 years of playing football, okay, the most boring, mundane thing you do as an offensive lineman, in particular a center, is at the start of every practice, every level of football, quarterback center exchange. So, you know, the center bends over, the quarterback comes up, you snap the ball to him. I never played with a quarterback that cared nearly as much about the center snap as Brady. Mm. Like, I'm telling you guys, this is April or May of 06. So at this point, I'm 26, 27 years old. It's my sixth year in the NFL. I've started 25 games. When I happened to be center for the mini camps and Brady was quarterback, he would look at me before he'd call the play, stare right in my eyes, like, all right, Ross, you and me, great snap first, great snap first. And in my head, and I would be like, got it, bro, got it. In my head, I was like, okay, Tom. Like, Tom Brady's like looking at you. So the thing is like, you know, when you snap the ball to a quarterback, when they're under center, their hand is, you know, they go under your, in the undercarriage there, and you snap the ball and it hits the top hand of the quarterback. Like it makes a noise like that, right? Brady is such a psycho that he wanted like that perfect smack every time. Hmm. Like in his crazy mind, okay, the perfect snap gave him like a fraction more time to look at the defense, a millisecond more to step back, you know, from center, even a little bit more time to get rid of the ball. And so what I learned from him, and I do a lot of public speaking, and I tell this story all the time. The guy had already won 3 Super Bowls. You know, he's already Tom Brady. He never looked at anything in life like, I got this. Like, he didn't want anybody taking any of his reps. Whereas most guys are like, go ahead. They don't want the reps. Brady relished any opportunity to do something a little bit better, to show he could do it a little bit better. He wanted that. Like, he was obsessed with that. And so I learned a lot about that in terms of how to live your life. Because so often there's aspects of our lives that we don't really put much stock into because we've done it for so long. He just doesn't look at it that way. He is constantly trying to do every aspect of his life a little bit better than he's done before.
Now, Ross, early in his career, I feel like he was under center a lot more. Late in his career, in my mind, Tom Brady moved into shotgun a ton.
Everyone's in shotgun now. People are in shotgun on a 3rd and 1.
Right. So in 06, were you doing shotgun a lot with him, or was that under center more? I know that's a silly little question.
It was still probably more under center. Now, until like 04, it was a lot of under center. 05, 06, started to move to shotgun a little bit more. You know, he liked to be able to see the defense. He really liked an empty set because the defense kind of has to show their cards. When you have 5 eligible receivers, you can't really disguise blitzes anymore because you got to have 5 guys covering those guys. So he can kind of see things. And I think at this stage of his career, he didn't move great. And I think, not that he ever did, we used to actually make fun of him for that. But I think he just wanted to get the ball in his hands and get it out as fast as possible. That was very clear this year. Very clear.
Ross Tucker is joining us. He's the host of the Ross Tucker podcast. Of course, he's also got myfrontpagestory.com, which we'll get to in just a moment. But Ross, you're describing Brady and his like maniacal obsession with football. if this really is it, and if this retirement sticks, are you worried about him, his life after football, and adjusting to what it's like to kind of be, you know, off the field?
I worry about every player for that reason, Maggie. I mean, I'll use myself as an example, right? I retired at 28. I had other things I could do with my life. I, you know, went to a good school, way better than Dartmouth, by the way, like way, way better than Dartmouth.
I'm glad you got that. Go Tigers.
But no, in all sincerity, and I had done, Maggie, I had done an internship every offseason because I always knew that football was like a temp job. You know how there's guys that say, like, football is not who I am. It's just what I do. Like, there's always those guys that go out of their way to tell you that they're more than a football player. I was kind of the opposite. I loved being a football player. Mm-hmm. I loved that when I went back to my hometown, people would point and say, there's Ross Tucker, the football player. You know, I love that. I love when I was in the NFL city, people would want my autograph or say there's I loved it, that was my identity. And so the toughest thing about retiring is like, you feel like you lose your identity in a heartbeat, in a heartbeat. The other thing is like, I think this is why I thought Brady would play again. I think he was a little bit scared of what football is, what life's like after football. And I also think he realizes and talked to enough people to realize you can never replicate what that's like again. Never. The emotions, the feeling you have when you are right about to start an NFL game, you just can't replicate that anywhere else in life, no matter how much money you do. I don't care. No matter how much money you make, no matter how much money you spend, you just can't replicate what it's like. And I think he realized that. And I think he loved that. And I kind of thought he was going to keep playing just to try to keep doing that for as long as he could.
Well, that leads to the next question. Do you think that there's any chance he'd come out of this retirement, say the perfect opportunity arose, there was an injury, or he got a call even midseason? You think he's done?
I'd say like less than 5%. I'd be really surprised. I'd be shocked. Because if that was a consideration, why would he do this now? I don't know what happened last year. Last year seemed like a cluster. Last year it didn't seem like it was what he wanted to do. The whole thing was awkward. I don't know if he was trying to go to the Dolphins, the Sean Payton. I don't know what happened last year. But after what happened last year, I just don't think he would have done this today if there was any part of him that thought he might come back. There's no rush. He doesn't need to. He didn't need to do this today. Could have waited another month. Could have waited another 2 months, 3 months. So I don't know why he would do this today if there was any inkling that he would, you know, come back. And I do think it's interesting because part of me thought when he got divorced that maybe the compelling forces to retire weren't there as much. Maybe a lot of that was from his wife and maybe he would keep playing. Seems like maybe the opposite. You know, now that he's divorced, it seems like it's even a higher priority to be able to spend as much quality time with his kids as he can.
Ross Tucker is joining us. So, Ross, let's maybe fill some musical chairs here a little bit or get your early thoughts. If Brady's now off the market, veteran quarterbacks this offseason are a very valuable commodity because you've got teams that are ready to win right now, and the quarterback situations are a little bit dicey. Talking about San Francisco, talking about Vegas, talking about maybe the Miami Dolphins. We found out Tua passed concussion protocols today. I guess he's still in the concussion protocol, even though he's not preparing for a game. You know, Tampa needs a quarterback. Carolina needs a quarterback. There's a lot of openings here for Derek Carr, for Aaron Rodgers. Like, where do you see these guys ending up this offseason?
Aaron Rodgers feels like the Jets. Feels like the Jets to me.
I don't think the Packers. E2, Ross. E2. Samter is rejoicing.
You know, I don't think the Packers want to trade him in the NFC. And I think the Jets owner has a high desire for big name quarterbacks, for marquee quarterbacks. And they are ready to win right now. I mean, the Jets are going to the playoffs next year if they get Aaron Rodgers. That's what's happening. The New York Jets are in the playoffs next year with Aaron Rodgers. And that's pretty valuable. And you got to have somebody that's willing to take on the $60 million. And I think the Jets are willing to do that. So I think that feels like the Jets. I wouldn't be shocked by the Raiders, but it doesn't feel like Josh McDaniel's style to bring in a quarterback that's making $60 million that he might butt heads with. Mm. You know, I just don't see that from Josh McDaniels. I think he's more likely to bring in like Baker Mayfield as his quarterback. I can see that with the Raiders. Derek Carr, I think there's a lot of options for Derek Carr. And I think Derek Carr is a really good option for Tampa, for Carolina. That would probably be what I would do if I was Frank Reich, is try to get, because he could solidify that position right away. And Carolina would have a great chance to go to the playoffs. Carolina would have a great chance to win that division with Derek Carr.
Ross, tell us about myfrontpagestory.com. This thing's pretty cool.
Well, it's just the best Valentine's Day gift ever. Oh, and nice. It's February, fellas. And we're less than 2 weeks away from Valentine's Day. They literally, you talk to a writer for 10 minutes about your wife or significant other, whoever. They write the most unbelievable story. It's framed, looks like it's on the cover of the newspaper. It's absolutely beautiful. It's pictures of you and her together smiling. She won't even know, like, she'll think that you came up with this idea on your own, that you, like, thought about this and you hired some writer like Andrew Perloff to write this great story about her. She will be blown away. She doesn't even know this is a thing. And then when she reads the quote, like, I never thank her enough for all the little things she does for the family, she will cry. They cry almost every time they cry. I've seen the videos. And then the beauty of it is it's hanging up in the house forever. So it's like the gift that keeps on giving. Trust me. You. And by the way, I got a code for you guys. CBS 10. So the number 10. CBS, the number 10. 10% off. That way they know I sent you guys myfrontpagestory.com. I would not steer you guys wrong. Okay. Myfrontpagestory.com.
Now, Ross, I've met your wife. So if I was interviewing for this, the first question would be, why Ross? Because you've outkicked your coverage, much like I have. But no, thank you, dude. And of course, we have to say it. Spicy mustard for life.
Spicy mustard for life. We also have to say, Maggie, I'm sad that your Bills aren't in this game. I know you're probably still in mourning.
Yeah.
But not everybody can have the best O-line and the best D-line and the best roster by far in the NFL. It's hard. It's hard to be somebody from Philadelphia these days.
Yeah. Do you see Fred Warner's wife is mad at us, though, Ross? Us Philadelphians?
Why?
Because people were obscene to her in the crowd. I mean, I kind of get it.
I don't know how they were obscene, but
yeah.
At this point, how do people not know the way my first game I ever suited up in the NFL was for Washington at Philly at the old Veteran Stadium. And I said to my girlfriend, who's my wife now, my father-in-law, my sister, my mom, my dad, under no circumstances do any of you wear anything Washington. Nothing. And not only that, don't cheer. If something good happens for us, just smile. Don't stand up. Don't cheer. Don't draw attention to yourself. It's not worth it. But other people just don't get it. Like, I don't know why you would wear it. I mean, they just don't understand.
They don't get it. No, I appreciate you saying that, Ross. Maggie doesn't understand, Ross, but her fans jump through tables, so they're not that like much different.
Listen, Ross is a former Buffalo Bill. I mean, I'm talking to a legend here. Ross, can't tell you how much we appreciate this. Great perspective today. Well, as always, but especially on Tom Brady, we appreciate it. And we'll see you in Phoenix.
Yeah, I'll see you guys next week. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Ross.
You bet.